Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
Thanks to Earl for the update. We'll get to Kobe Bryant's numbers, plural, being retired last night. Next segment. We're Grant and Danny. Welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. Go to thefandc.com. A lot of good content there, including Blue Shorts is right up on Chris Russell saying on our show yesterday he will lead a parade down the street painted burgundy and gold if Bruce Allen doesn't return as the Redskins team president.
No more bold proclamations. Here's a bold proclamation. I'll lead a parade. I love him.
Love that write-up by Shorts, as well as a column by Rick Snyder on thefandc.com about Jay Gruden's future and what Sunday meant for Gruden. So let's welcome him onto the show now. So, Rick, summarize it for us. What was kind of your feel going into the game? What did you need to see? And what is your feel now on Gruden and the Redskins?
Hey, guys. Let me first say I love that Chris Russell has amended his bet from to 5 minutes. What a great bet this will be.
Yes, this is going to be very good. He will paint his face, which is what I care about. He will wave the flag, and he will lead folks on about a half-mile walk.
Pilgrimage, yes.
Yeah, but what if he would, like, shave his head and paint it burgundy and gold? I think that's fair, too.
Oh, let's ask him to shave his head. Probably do it.
It's all in play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but anyway, we love the format, Chris, because we love. But, all right, so I thought the Redskins lost out, and I didn't think they would, but if they did, Gruden's job was definitely in play. Now the pressure is kind of off. They might even beat Denver this week, so everybody can feel halfway decent about a loss series. But, you know, I thought, you know, if he didn't win, you know, there was things in doubt. You can never be too comfortable at Redskin Park.
So, Rick, what about my theory? I don't know if you heard me say this, but I'll sort of repeat it again for the folks who may not be listening. I still think everything is in play because of the apathy, because the television ratings last week were terrible, because the attendance this week was laughably poor. They said 70,000. There's no way there were 70,000 there.
No.
To me, there's a lack of interest. And the Redskins, when this happens, try and do something shocking to jar the fan base into believing again or into buying in again. And that, to me, means that a coach could be on the table. I don't think Bruce Allen's going anywhere. I think you pointed this out in a column previously. They need him for the stadium. And that's why he's as secure as anybody in America. They're going to try to do something big, and it may just include Jay Gruden.
There are some parallels to Jim Zorn's last year. You know, the half-empty stadiums, an upset fan base. But the season was worse under Zorn. I mean, this has
Absolutely.
Been respectable. There's the big difference between the past. I didn't count exactly, but I know how to look at stadium attendance. There was like 32,000 there. You know, I couldn't believe it said 71. And I'd love to say, that's how many tickets were sold. The word attendance is not tickets sold. I have no doubts about that. The word is how many are attending. And there was maybe 500 Cards fans there. So the place is half empty, and there's a lot of fans upset. And, you know, you've talked about this for days on end, and it's kind of true. People say, I don't want to go anymore for these reasons. And then I just simply ask, if this team was going to the Super Bowl, would you go? Oh, yeah. Well, then the rest of it's nonsense. It doesn't matter. It's all about winning and losing. And this team has just been mediocre. And I don't know why everybody got their hopes up so high this year. Nobody thought this was a and if they finish 8-8, you know, they underperformed a little, but the injuries really bit them, you know, and a very hard schedule. And we could go on and on. But I just don't think it's in play. I think we go another year. Let's put it this way. Cousins is the key. You've got to decide what you're doing there. My bet right now, and I'm not going to shave my head over this bet, is that they franchise and trade him. That's what I think is most likely now.
I can't see them franchising him because I can't see him paying $34 million if they're not able to work out a deal. But I understand that they would try to trade him. Do you think, though, that a team would trade substantial amount of picks or whatever it would take for a guy that they're renting 1 year at $34 million? It seems like finding a trade partner would be tough.
Well, I think you have to cut a deal with them, you know, off the books for the 4 or 5 years before you cut the trade. I mean, I assume that this would be allowed. And if you can do that, because no, you're not going to do a 1 year 34. No, he's not paid Manny, you know, where you're trying to grab one title. But if you can work out a deal for long term, you know, I think you can get a first and something else for him. You know, under the old system, it'd be two firsts, but it's really whatever the seller will take. And you know, look at Blaine Gabbert the other day. I was sitting there thinking, you know what? If they lose Kirk and they get, you know, there's a chance you're getting something else like Blaine Gabbert, you're sure going to miss Kirk. Because that's just awful to watch. And we've seen this for many years. People forget how bad quarterbacks were here for so many years. But they just want to throw Kirk out the bus and keep going.
Our guest is Rick Snyder's column on Jay Gruden's at thefandc.com. Jay's putting the finishing touches on year four. Like Mike Shanahan, who was here for 4 years, the Redskins will have made the playoffs once during four seasons. Now, if you look at point margin, outscored by, I mean, it's not even close. They've been way more competitive under Jay Gruden. But before that, you had Zorn and Gibbs and Spurrier and Turner, and you've been here through it all the way back to the original Gibbs days. I'm curious what you think right now of Jay Gruden as a coach.
I think there's a lot of parallels with he and Norv Turner, and that they took, you know, bad teams to good. Neither one has so far taken it to great, and not every coach can do that. You know, they're both offensive-oriented mind. They both really aren't the classic head coach authoritarians like that. They both have the same kind of temperaments. There's a lot of similarities to that. You know, he's nothing like so many of the others. So, you know, and then you have the other side of the ball, which is, you know, Schottenheimer and Shanahan, and you know, they want to be all-knowing, all-powerful, and that didn't work anything either. So there's a balance. I think Jay's a good coach. I don't know. And I think Jay could win a Super Bowl with the right people. But you know, nobody's saying Jay is Belichick.
@Snyder_remarks on Twitter. Great follow for the columnist Rick Snyder for the Washington Post Express and our own JFK columnist here. Rick, what do you make of this Sua Cravens thing? Each latest chapter is more bizarre than the rest. I haven't asked you about that. It went from, you know, he couldn't show up to the Redskins game when they played in L.A. Next thing you know, they said you're persona non grata. He now talks about he's over post-concussions. He's getting himself pulled over and is claiming racial profiling. There's a lot of things happening with Sua Cravens. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I was talking to somebody about this morning for a while. You know, I saw the video, and I think the key here is it wasn't 39 and a 35. It was 39 and a 25 because it was a school zone. And you may see a posted number. I got a ticket once like this. And I know how he feels. I got the exact same thing after me. I think he made maybe more of it. I personally would trade Cravens. I think the Redskins have moved on. I think the fans have moved on. And I would get what you can. I just don't like a lot of the temperament things. The stuff with the agent saying, oh, he's over the concussion and all. Well, listen, if you really had that, what agent would let you go on a non-paid list? Never. Never. And could you have every right to get paid? So I took that as nothing, you know, except he's healthy. But I just don't like a lot of things here that I've seen. And I know inside the building there's the same concerns with the guy. So he just seems like a kind of an immature person who needs to buck up a little more. And I don't see it. So I don't think he comes back. I think something happens, they let him go.
Yeah, he is a guy that would have some value, you'd think, with some defensive needy teams that would give him a fresh start elsewhere. Rick Snyder, again, Snyder Marks on Twitter. Appreciate you, buddy. Thanks so much, Rick.
All right, guys. See you.
Thank you. There's Rick. Check him out at thefandc.com. Let's talk Kobe Bryant next on Grant and Danny. His numbers, that's right, two of them, got retired by the Lakers last night. Last night was the night. If you saw everybody over Kobe-ing online, it's because Kobe Bryant's numbers, this is plural, this is 8 and 24, were retired by the Los Angeles Lakers. When did Kobe become so charming, by the way?
Yeah.
I watched part of his press conference, and I got this vibe like, he's owning this room. He loves everyone. Everyone loves him. This is like when you're no longer taught by the teacher and you go back to the school and all of a sudden they're super nice and you're like their buddy, and that's like
you hated me when I walked these halls.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I don't remember Kobe being a Mr.
And so there's
charming,
and there's something about an MJ parallel to this too, where it's hard to play with Michael Jordan. It's hard to be his teammate because you live in fear. because that dude is more competitive than anybody else that's ever walked on this planet. And he passes to you and you miss a shot, you want to crawl into a hole and die. Kobe Bryant is not a beloved teammate. It became that way as he was kind of the mentor for this group that's winning 37 games and he's jacking up 30 shots a night. But this is not one of those guys that, like, is, I don't know, universally beloved all the time. And now we look at him that way as his career has wound down. I mean, it's a fascinating case study because all the young people are putting things up like he's the GOAT, no one will ever be better. You see that flowing on social media and you're kind of going, he's not even the third best Laker of all time.
Right.
You know, now Hall of Famer, top 20 player, probably a top 15 player, as you'd say through the history of this game, but it's very strange the reverence and treatment that he is getting to me. I don't know why.
Let's rank Kobe. And for the rankings, let's go players we've watched during our lifetime.
Okay.
I'm even going to put Jordan on my list.
So I'm going to cut out guys that I didn't see.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm going to put Jordan on mine, even though Jordan I saw as a kid. I mean, young kid. Now, I remember Jordan as a Wizard, and I remember Jordan in, like, the 98 finals pushing off Byron Russell beating the Utah Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to put Jordan on mine because I was 9 and 10 years old at that time. I remember him. It's just prime of his career, middle of his career is when I was, like, 5, 6, 7 years old. But he's on my list. He's number one on my list. Is he number one on your list?
Jordan?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, clearly.
Who's number two on your list?
LeBron James.
LeBron James is number two on my list as well. Again, these are the NBA players we've seen during our lifetime. I think those two definitively are ahead of Kobe for me. Kobe is now in the conversation from this point forward on my list, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
So I went Jordan 1, LeBron 2. I think you're going to disagree with my number 3, but go. You go first.
All right, so I still remember him. I saw enough of him, even though it was towards the end. But people forget, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is my number 3.
Really?
The center before centers. Oh, yeah, I remember throughout the 80s. Now, granted, I didn't see the best of Kareem, but I saw enough.
Well, so that's like my Jordan. Granted, Jordan was still really good when I saw him, but I didn't miss the... So what year were you born?
79.
So his last year was when he was like 41 with the Lakers in 88, so you would have been like 8 years old.
So I remember those mid-90s
you remember that.
Wars with the Celtics. I remember them coming out of the West. I mean, this was 25, 12, three blocks. He was a force.
That counts for sure. My number three player, and this is where a lot of people are going to get really upset with me. I'm putting this guy ahead of Kobe. Tim Duncan.
Do I look upset? Look at my face.
A little bit.
I don't look upset at you. I'm just looking at you nodding.
I'm putting Tim Duncan number three on the list of the players in my lifetime that I've been able to watch.
Greatest power forward of all time.
I think he was not only the best power forward of my era, as you said, maybe ever, but he is just a transcendent talent. I mean, I think Tim Duncan was such a dominant player in his prime. That 20, 10, and 5 that was coming every single night. Kobe always made guys around him better. So did Tim Duncan, by the way.
Absolutely.
That offense ran through him. He had David Robinson for a little while, and then he didn't. And it didn't matter if it was Parker and Ginobili or who was around him. At different times, it was different groups with Greg Popovich. They were always going to be knocking on the door of the finals. So I'm putting him third. You're putting Kareem third. Who's your four?
Four is Magic, who was everything. Now, obviously, the thing that Kobe has on his side over a lot of these guys, not necessarily Kareem, but the longevity. People forget, Kobe played 20 years, 17 of them at an all-star level.
Yes.
So, but his peak, not as good as Magic's peak. At Magic's peak, this is a guy that played everything from point guard to center, won a game when Kareem was out in the NBA Finals, again, playing center, the skyhook, famously to win it for the Los Angeles Lakers. He did everything at the highest level. He's the guy that ushered in that new era. He was absolutely phenomenal. Dominant at both ends.
Okay. You ready for my number four? Still not Kobe. I'm telling you, people are going to hate my list. My number four is Shaquille O'Neal.
Ain't no problem.
I'm putting Shaq as the fourth best player of my lifetime as an NBA fan. Because I'm just going with sheer dominance of a guy that you couldn't stop. There's nothing you could do, and there's a reason why the Lakers were better off when Shaq was the Mac Daddy and Kobe was playing Robin to his Batman. Then after that, I'm going Shaq number four.
So number five, these are guys I've seen. Number five, Bird, him intrinsical link with Magic.
See, you have a way better NBA life than I do. Those guys just predate me.
The 80s, man.
Yes.
This is why I fell in love with basketball. People forget about Larry Bird. 24.
Do they?
Yes.
I'm sure people forget.
I'm so sure.
I'll go ahead and talk, thanks. People forget about the elements that Larry Bird brought to the game. People remember some of the shots, whatever else. They forget he averaged double-digit rebounds and six assists a game. So everybody looks at this new era of sport and kind of go, that's amazing. And on a team with multiple Hall of Famers, he's still doing everything
for
a basketball
team. You don't think he gets credited as one of the top 10 players in all time?
You're misunderstanding me. People forget about some of the – they just go, oh, it's Boston, it's Larry Legend, it's some of the clutch shots. They remember his kind of wacky, you know, kind of cool plays. People forget about the all-around game that he had. Some of the numbers he put up are just as staggering in addition to some of these achievements as part of great teams. He's my number five player of all time.
I have one more that I'm going to go with before Kobe.
Go for it.
I think this is going to annoy people again. Although you haven't really had a problem with Duncan or Shaq.
I know. They're on my list here, too.
This is a guy that I think, I don't want to say gets slept on for fear of the Danny Rouillet, Larry Bird gets slept on thing, but I do think this guy is underrated. Hakeem Olajuwon. Hakeem Olajuwon is number five on my list. I was 13, I think, when he last played, and he was like 40 with the Raptors. But I have great memories of Hakeem Olajuwon still with the Rockets when he was still really, really good. Number five on my list.
Number six for me, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Really?
Yep, the second-best center I have ever seen. He, the all-time NBA shot block leader, again, dominant. This is the guy that ushered in the new era of ball going into the post and then coming back out. He was preternatural, both on offense and defense, with incredible feet. The best post moves of anybody ever to play, in my opinion. The ability to kick it into him and then kick it out to shooters. People didn't do that. That didn't happen at the way that he made it. Those Rockets teams were built around the ball going into him and being the center of the offense instead of it going into a black hole. Hakeem Olajuwon, number six for me.
Kobe, number six on my list, is where I get to him. So this is, again, our lifetime. If
among
you guys want to rank
seen.
Yours, where do you put Kobe on the list of guys you've seen? 800-636-1067. I go Jordan 1, LeBron 2, Tim Duncan 3, Shaq 4. Then I go Hakeem Olajuwon 5, Kobe Bryant 6. And there are some other guys that were probably right before, like in the mid-80s, late 80s, early 90s. But I don't have memories of most of those really good guys. How much further do you have till Kobe?
It's not much. So after Hakeem,
rattle them off.
7 is Duncan, 8 is Shaq, 9 is Kobe, and 10 is Moses Malone. That's
so
my,
you have
that's
Kobe
my 10.
Ninth.
Kobe is ninth in my lifetime that I've seen.
I have him sixth. And you don't have any problems with anybody on my list?
No.
I don't have any problems
all,
with anyone
they're
on
all
your
on
list.
Mine.
Dar?
Well, okay. So I looked this up because I remember we talked about it over the summer. There's a Washington Post article that came out that ranked the top 50 NBA, ABA players since the merger. And I remember we were talking about it. You guys are... I don't know if you think that everybody's stupid. Like you're people sleep on Larry Bird. He was number five on the list with the Washington Post. Tim Duncan ranked way too highly, you think, by you. Number three on the list by the Washington Post.
Good. I when I said I think people are gonna not like that.
It's not as sexy.
I think there's like Kobe fanboys that get really upset about
where do you think
like
Kobe came down on this list, by the way?
Top 50 all time?
Since the merger?
Since the merger.
I would guess 12 or 13.
I would put him like around 15 or something like that. I think he probably ranked 7th.
He was 9th, and they actually have the exact same top 9 as Danny.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Minus they swapped in, who was it? Kareem, you had him 3rd.
Yep.
They have him 11th. So
there's
the
one player you don't have.
Yeah, so I'm higher on Kareem just because I remember the end. And basically, again, my pop's telling me how great he used to be.
So let's take calls on this, 800-636-1067. So when you call and you got to tell us your age and then where Kobe ranks among the players that you have seen. 6th on my list, 9th on Danny's list. Brant and Danny on the Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Kobe Bryant's numbers retired last night by the Lakers. So we're talking Kobe. Where does he rank among the players you have seen? Everyone's list is going to be a little bit different based on your age. As an example, I am in my late 20s. My earliest memories of the NBA are like the 96-97 season, maybe closer to 97.
Mm-hmm.
Based on that, my list goes as such. Number one, Michael Jordan. Number two, LeBron James. Number three, Tim Duncan. Number four, Shaquille O'Neal. Number five, Hakeem Olajuwon. And Kobe Bryant is number six. I've got a Kobe fanboy who was upset who said, Kobe's the second best two guard ever. But I ranked three bigs ahead of him who are dominant, incredible franchise-altering players that I thought were better than him.
Yeah, that's the two-guard angle may be debatable. That's
right.
Actually in my conversation. I would say that. But if you're adding all the positions, I haven't even gotten to all-time players. We didn't get to Oscar Robertson or Elgin Baylor. We didn't get to Bill Russell, for goodness sakes. You know what I mean? We didn't even get to the all-time. We're really talking just in our own lifetimes, and I'm 38. So I've seen eight, to me, definitively better players than Kobe Bryant. Now, they didn't have the luxury of playing in L.A., all of them. Some of them did. They
give yours again real quick, your list.
One, MJ. Two, LeBron. Three, Kareem. Four, Magic. Five, Bird. Six, Hakeem. Seven, Duncan. Eight, Shaq. Nine, Kobe. 10, Moses Malone. That's my 10.
I like it.
That I've seen.
Yeah. And your list is longer than mine because you've got a couple guys who are a little bit older than my group. Let's go to Roger in Capitol Heights. What's up, Roger?
Hey, how you doing today, Grandin?
Hey, buddy.
Doing well, buddy.
All right. I just can't believe that you guys left Kobe out of the top five. My starting five would be...
How old are you, really quick? Really quick before you go. How old are you?
I'm 41.
You're 41. Interesting.
Okay, so you're a little older than Danny. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I have Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kareem, Magic, then Kobe. Now, any other of those guys that you name could go after Kobe Bryant, but there's no way you put Kobe at the end of your list.
You don't put Bird ahead of Kobe Bryant?
You don't think Larry Bird was better or Magic Johnson? I guess he did say Magic.
He did say Magic is four.
You don't think Tim Duncan was better than Kobe Bryant? You don't think Hakeem Olajuwon was better than Kobe Bryant?
Not from where I stand. I mean, those guys, all those guys are great. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, we're talking about greats
phenomenal.
Here. Right.
Yeah, we're talking about all-timers.
This isn't a group of bums you're trying to figure out who should start on your 20-win team. These are all Hall of Famers, just like the levels of Hall of Fame we're talking.
Appreciate you,
buddy. Fascinating.
Let's go to Robbie, who's in Wardoff. Waldorf is where they, I think what they call it in real terms.
Roberto.
What's up, Robbie?
Hey, what's up, Grant and Danny? How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Good, man.
First time caller, long time listener. Love you guys. It's a great topic. And, I put Kobe at number seven. And there's two players that I think don't get mentioned because they don't have rings. What about John Stockton and Karl Malone?
Both great. Just missed my 10. Just missed my 10.
I considered both in my conversation, but neither of them, to me, are better than Kobe Bryant.
Stockton played in the golden era of point guards. That's actually unfair to him. That hurts him because he was a contemporary at the times of guys like Magic, as I mentioned, Isaiah Thomas, who was so good. He was never, to me, the one seed of point guards. Maybe he should have been, if that's fair, but there was always a year like Gary Payton was better 1 year. Kevin Johnson for the Suns was played at a higher level 1 year. Isaiah Thomas, who I already mentioned, Magic Johnson, et cetera. Stockton never quite got enough credit. Malone, to me, probably among guys I saw, I'd probably put him 12, maybe 13. I'd have to really brainstorm that. I had a tough enough time kind of coming to my 10. But Malone, I considered, absolutely.
One guy that I think should be in the conversation is Kevin Garnett. And Dar brought him up. Dar actually ranked him ahead of Kobe Bryant on his list. I think that's probably aggressive. But Kevin Garnett will never properly get the credit he deserves. He led the league in rebounding four straight years while averaging in the mid-20s in points. And that was like his age 27 to 30 seasons in mm-hmm. Minnesota. And he basically always did it with not a lot around him until he finally got to Boston. But Kevin Garnett was one of certainly the 20 best players I've ever seen.
In my 20, I'd say.
And probably, honestly, would be in my top 15. And the gap between him and Kobe might be pretty close.
Overall stats, because he came in as a high school kid and took a couple years, which makes sense. And
yeah.
Then end of his career,
and
where he wasn't the same guy.
And at the end of his career, he was watered
down. So bookend it. His overall career numbers don't blow you away the way some other guys would, but you look at some of the advanced stats, like win shares per 48 minutes.
His prime, dude.
Touch rate, field goal percentage.
You take out just the decade where he was at his best.
Right. There were years you
special.
Basically go, you wake up, what did Kevin Garnett do? 25, 13, 7.
Yeah.
Yep. Every night. That's a powerful
unbelievable.
Luke
Stunt. Thomas, voice guy. What's up?
Cheese, what's up, dude?
Hey, Hey guys, it's been a while. I'm sorry.
Sorry, man.
It's not your fault.
It's not my fault. It kind of is, but I digress. So for me, I mean, I just turned 27. So for me, I mean, I would definitely be top five because NBA players, when I was little, you were on the Bullets, you were in Space Jam, or you had a shoe. So if you weren't in any of those, I didn't know you were, except for Kobe. So for me, I go MJ, LeBron, Kobe, George Mirasan, and then literally anyone at five, and what's wrong with that?
I like that. Good to have you back, Cheese.
See you, buddy.
Let's go to Mo in Largo. What's up, Mo?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I understand the recency factor, but I also got to take in consideration the art of scoring the basketball. And I think Kobe's skill transcends time. Now, my list goes Jordan, it goes Kareem, it goes LeBron, and then it goes Kobe. Now, I know we got a couple of young bloods in there, but, I mean, looking at Larry Bird, and I understand all the respect that he's acclaimed for all of his accolades, but I just don't feel like his game would transcend time as others would have, and that's why I got to put him
meaning
further down
the
list.
Meaning you could put Kobe in any era, you're saying.
That's interesting.
I feel like that, yes, sir. I mean, I understand he's a product of time, but you can't take that away from him. But his game kills any time you put him on the court, regardless of what era of basketball. And I think that ups his stock.
It's a good argument
for
Kobe.
I like that case.
That's an argument I make for my guys, Hakeem,
yeah.
Shaq. Those games translate. That's portable.
I think
Tim Duncan, he could have played any era.
Bit of disrespect for Bird there for his any era game. Obviously, the game not built on athleticism, but as good an athlete as Kobe was, he wasn't Dr. J. He wasn't what MJ was when he first came into the league. Who's Coney? I don't
Coney
know
Coney Ealy. He plays defensive line for the Jets.
Kobe turned himself into a clinician, into the same kind of footwork and brilliant head fakes and hesitations. I mean, he's an assassin in that way, that he honed his offensive game to such a high level. It was always the medium, the far, and then the close in he could always do. So he could play in any era. That's a good case, though, by Mo.
Let's squeeze in one more. Will in Fairfax wants to hop aboard. What's up, Will?
Oh, hey, Will.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I got Kobe at four. I got Michael, Magic, and Kareem ahead of him. The one issue I take with your list and everybody's list I'm hearing is LeBron. I think there's a certain thing to be said for championship pedigree. And I don't think you can be a great player if you can't seem to beat teams that are coming out of a weak East.
Six straight finals. Though,
really, I mean, he's that's won not three titles. You're acting like he hasn't won one.
Three and four or five losses now?
Yes, a bunch of losses.
But some of those teams that are losing in the finals, that first time he got to the finals with Cleveland, in a million years they shouldn't have been there. You're going to hold that against him?
Right. I'm going to hold it against him that he played in the weak East. But you also look at Kobe. You look at the teams that the Lakers constantly had to go through in the West.
The Kings.
Those were teams that were laden with Hall of Fame players. And you look at stats. He played in the triangle offense. The triangle offense isn't meant to build stats assists or rebound assists. It's a free-flowing offense to where, you know, you have a job. You have a responsibility. You have to do that. You can't crash the boards and pick up little sucker rebounds on the backside like guys in today's game do.
I'd say it's a good point. A couple counters.
Shaq helped him get through the Kings.
Jordan found a way to put up some stats in that. Let's settle down with calling the Kings littered with Hall of Famers. Some really good players on those teams,
Doug
obviously.
Doug Christie, Bobby Jackson, yeah. Not Hall of Famers.
Bibby, Vlade
Divac, not a Hall of Famer.
All good players.
Peja Stojakovic, not a Hall of Famer.
I would say if we hold the finals losses against somebody, Kobe and Shaq losing to that Detroit Pistons team with, you know, Rasheed Wallace and Chauncey Billups.
Tayshaun Prince.
And Tayshaun Prince, where the team kind of beat the ultimate, you know, set of individuals. I don't know, man. It's people want to discredit LeBron, and I understand that, but you need to understand the impact he has on 94 feet at all times. We haven't seen anything like it. He's a combo of Oscar. He's a combo of Magic. And even, dare I say, a little bit of Scottie Pippen and MJ. He's a new prototype for a new era, whereas Kobe was a version of Jordan.
One of the big names in college football coaching got a massive extension, a new deal that's going to span a decade. We'll get into that and a couple of NFL news and notes next. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Hello, Grant and Dave. How are you on the day? I've got to get on the phone and do this weird testifying about Scott McLuhan and the organization day.
Hello, Grant and Dave. How are you on your ticked off Kobe fanboys and your mentions are like a toxic waste dump day?
How about that one guy who tweeted me that his top five players of his lifetime are all Kobe because He loves Kobe that much, Day.
Day.
Welcome back, 106.7 The Fan. What's up, Thommy?
Because I didn't know that this was happening and you kind of just dropped it during a bit, what are the chances that you're talking to an arbitrator or whoever's running this phone call and they say, Grant, true or false, your board op producer wore Scott's jacket for 3 straight months? Do you think it will come up?
Could that come up in this hearing?
Oh, that's actually a great...
Might show bias.
It's a great question, yeah.
You think that could come up?
It might come up. I mean, what if Bruce is asked, did you ever listen to the Grant and Danny radio program when Thom was wearing the jacket, and how does that make you feel? I think, yeah, it's an important question.
You might not... It might not seem exactly pertinent to the conversation.
But everything matters.
But it could be one of those times where in all those courtroom shows or like the movies where it's like, you better get somewhere quick with this counselor. Yes, yes, Your Honor. I'll allow it. One of those kind of things.
Big news of the day. Lane Kiffin gets a 10-year deal after a 10-win season at Florida Atlantic University. That was quick, wasn't it?
Well, he'll definitely stick to that. He'll be there with the full 10. No
this
question.
Is the thing about college coaching and deals that makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
So he gets a 10-year deal. I guess it's just very easy to rip up these contracts if you're a college coach. Is that how it works?
That's the sense I get.
Do you build it in with writing that if I get a job in a better conference at a better university,
I can better deal you whenever I feel
I
like
I can just leave at any point? Florida Atlantic 10-3 faces Akron Tuesday night in the Sherbundy Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl. Is that
sound like you're
correct?
Reading the real thing backwards? What
I don't
that?
Know if that's the right words or not.
The Sharkhandrick West Al Bundy Bowl.
That is the bowl that they are playing in, my
I'm
friend.
Sure, I'm very sure.
10-year deal for Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin's always seemed very tough to like.
When you hire a me first, I will better deal you the instant I can coach. Beware. You get a me first, I'll better deal you whenever I can coach.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get in bed with Bobby Petrino and enjoy that quick turnaround season. He's gone the instant a whiff of some more money in a better situation comes.
But aren't most Same with coaches that? I mean, who isn't really that? Like, find me the examples of the guys who have stayed when they had better offers for years and years. There's probably a couple.
There's some guys, right,
I think,
right,
that's rare. Most of the coaches that are just lifers now, like Nick Saban's at Alabama until the end of time, what better job is coming along?
Yeah, there isn't a better one, I guess.
Like Tom Herman, for a couple years, I remember, was like, he's Mr. Houston. He's not going anywhere, Texas.
And then he went.
Immediately. JMU, I think they had a coach leave recently, and some guy just signed like a 10-year deal to stay there at Division II, I think.
The only guy that really comes to mind is Kenny Amatalolo.
There's a good example. But even Kenny Amatalolo, a couple things with him. He runs an offense that I think a lot of people like wouldn't hire him to run at
I mean, like in
schools.
The SEC, probably not. But Absolutely. You could probably get away with it in, you know, Mountain West.
Sure, but my point is, are you leaving for that? Like, Navy's a fairly decent situation if you're Kenny Amatalolo. If Georgia came calling for you, you'd leave Navy. Georgia ain't coming calling for you because you run the triple option.
Because you got to run, you're running the option.
I just think there's a weird caveat there. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he just loves Navy so much. Wasn't there a school, I'm making this up, maybe Hawaii, I thought, or something? But maybe just because of his Hawaiian background. Who was it a couple years ago that supposedly Amatalolo was considering going to? Or did
Wasn't
BYU come up?
Yeah, because Mendenhall went to Virginia.
Right, BYU. Again, that's not... Are you really making the jump for that gig? That's not a great gig.
Right, it's not a good gig.
It's fine. Is it great?
It's good.
It's Brigham Young.
Right, it's good. But, I mean, I see your point that all coaches are always going to better deal you. But I guess when there's like special cases, the like... I'm talking about the instant.
The guy that's used car salesman.
Yeah, where there's... You're lucky to get that second year fulfilled. You're lucky if he makes it through the whole way. You know what I mean? You just feel smarmy around the guy. And that's one. Lane Kiffin's one.
Couple of things from the NFL. Ben Roethlisberger says in hindsight he should have just spiked the ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably true, Ben. I'm glad we're on the same page there. Bill Belichick says the end zone catch rule is tough but clear. He's on Team Eli Manning, I think. Now, maybe unlike Eli, he would actually change the rule. But he doesn't have as big a problem with it as you and I do, it doesn't sound like. People need to acknowledge that even though it's a clear rule, it's a bad rule. That's what I need everyone to do. Agree that it's a terrible rule. Nobody's saying it's not clear, but please admit that it's terrible.
That's all we ask. When things don't make sense, let's change them. When things don't make sense, let's change them.
You know who is on our side? Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones says Jesse James caught the ball.
Well, that's a very reasonable person right there. That's somebody who's, I, I've
course, negotiated with Beelzebub himself to make sure that no one understands what a catch is. It's a corollary of my deal.
And FedEx Field is not the only grass surface being called into question. The Falcons were very upset with how the field played last night against Tampa Bay. They should come to FedEx and try out their luck. Although, I got to give the Redskins some credit. I don't know if anybody noticed. We didn't talk about it on Monday. Not sure if the field played any better for the guys on the field or not. But it looked a lot better. They actually did paint the dirt this time around. So it looked very green, which is all I can really ask for. If you're not actually going to fix the problem, exert the effort to just make the brown green.
I suppose if having a reasonable NFL caliber field isn't attainable, which I still don't agree with. I can't agree to that premise.
It's not.
For me, it should be excellent. The surface should be excellent. This is the highest league we've got. The analogy would be if you can't have like a good infield grass in a Major League Baseball stadium, so they go, screw it, let's just go all dirt and paint it green. I just can't have it. It should be pristine excellence. I don't know enough about groundskeeping. I just know that theirs is 32nd out of 32. Theirs is terrible, and it's worse than like a soccer stadium where it's concrete.
Chad Dukes versus the world at 2 o'clock. 4 hours of fun with Chad today. Remember, Crashing the Net tonight with our own Tom Daly. He's kicking it with Neil Greenberg. Ahead
7
of the
o'clock,
Caps
I
and
believe.
The Stars. That game is at 8:30. They're 7, 8, 15, then pregame, then the Caps, keeping you company throughout the night. If you miss Nate Davis on All Things NFL, Rick Snyder on the Redskins, or any part of today's show, including a pretty good conversation about Christmas movies and Jay Gruden. Talked about Jay Gruden's future. Go to grantanddanny.com/audio. Podcasts are up hour by hour.
4G for B for T, I M D, C D, V T W is up next.
A lot of letters, guys.
So many letters. Like Christmas letters.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.